Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to Inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com and now on KNBR.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Rita's of Hayward, serving Italian ice and frozen custard. Today's guest is Marlins play-by-play announcer Glenn Geffner.
Good hitters count. Russ in the 2-0, and Ichiro slams one high in the air, deep to right field. Parr's back. He is at the wall, leaps, and he can't get it. Number 3,000 for Ichiro. It's off the wall. Ichiro around third. He's going to be held. He's got a triple. Number 3,000 for the one, the only, the remarkable Ichiro.
Glenn, a great moment in Denver on Sunday as Ichiro got his 3,000th career base hit. And you were the play-by-play announcer at the time for the Marlins on the radio. You got to make the call. What a great moment. Just tell us about describing that triple that Ichiro had. It was a great call by you, by the way. Really enjoyed it. And looked like the ball was going to be caught out there. So that had to add some intrigue to it.
Well, thank you, Joe, very much. It was a very interesting call because really the triple catches you off guard. You expect from Ichiro maybe a ground ball to the left side for hit number 3,000. And I was kind of ready for that mentally. And then when the ball left the bat, my first thought was he might have hit it out of here. My first thought was it might be a home run for the 3,000th hit. Then I didn't think it was that close to being caught, just watching it from my vantage point. And I hope Parr did get pretty close to it. But, it went off the wall. And then my next thought for a split second as the ball caromed back toward the infield was he might get an inside-the-park home run out of this. And I thought there was a chance of that, but he wound up with a triple, just the second player ever to triple for his 3,000th hit. It was a great moment. It was neat for me to be a very small part of it. But understanding Ichiro's place in the game especially, his respect and reverence for the history of the game and realizing what 3,000 hits means to him, it was extra special.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I thought it was going to be shades of the All-Star game in San Francisco when he had that inside-the-park home run. I mean, he definitely has a flair for the dramatic. What has he meant to the team? Just a veteran guy, you know, approaching this milestone. It had to be a lot of fun for everybody.
He's been an amazing guy to watch for the last two seasons. He's such a professional. And, you know, this has been, for several years, a very young team. And now you've got a team that's maybe young but not that inexperienced anymore, that's right about ready to win and maybe get to the postseason this year or next year. He's been such a great role model for these young players because he works so hard, he takes the game so seriously, but at the same time he knows every now and then you can have a little fun, you can laugh at yourself, you can laugh at a teammate. He's so structured, so regimented in how he prepares for every single game and how he prepares for every single at-bat, every little thing he does. It's just a marvel to watch this guy. And really, you know, you marvel at the fact that he's 42 years old and he's still doing what he's doing. And yet, when you watch how he prepares and how he literally never takes a day off, he doesn't take a day off in the off season. He doesn't take a day off on the All-Star break. He's at the ballpark. He's swinging the bat. He's stretching. He's throwing every single day. And that's why he's 42 with the body of a 25-year-old and still able to play at the level where he's playing.
We'll have more with Miami Marlins play-by-play announcer Glenn Geffner right after this. If the hot summer has you thinking of ways to cool down, we have the best way to do it. How about a cool, refreshing dessert from Rita's Italian Ice of Hayward? Over 70 flavors of Italian ice to choose from and 8 flavors of their award-winning frozen custard. The combinations are endless. Made fresh daily on site, many of Rita's Italian ices include fresh fruit. Plus, they have frozen custard, custard cookie sandwiches, and custom frozen custard cakes. And Rita's of Hayward offers catering for all types of events. Mention the Sports Virus, and you will receive one free regular size Italian ice with a purchase. Rita's Italian Ice of Hayward, celebrating their first year at 26775 Hayward Boulevard. Cool off today. Let's talk about the team and what's going on, because I know the Marlins got off to a slow start. Giancarlo Stanton definitely was off to a really slow start, but he's picked it up, especially with the home runs. He hit his 24th on Sunday. So what's gotten into the Marlins? You know, still in the race, seven games back is a little bit of a chunk there to try to pick up, but playing a lot better than they did earlier in the year, right?
Well, and leading for the second wild card position right now, a game up on the Cardinals. So if the season ended today, this would be a playoff team, and there's a lot of baseball in front of us, certainly. But we were in San Francisco in late April, and we lost the first two games of that series to drop to 5-11 on this season. It was a disastrous start. The Marlins won the final game of that series, then went into Los Angeles and won four straight for the Dodgers. And that began a stretch beginning on April 25th. Actually, the three best records in the National League belonged to the Cubs, the Giants, and the Marlins. So this team really, since leaving San Francisco back in April, has played very good baseball. The offense has been good. Maybe you look at some of the numbers, they don't all add up in as many runs scored as you would think, leading the league in batting average, up there in OBP, but not hitting a lot of extra base hits. The slugging percentage isn't what it might be, and yet scoring enough to win. For the most part, the pitching's been pretty good. And, you know, the funny thing about the pitching is I think it's been better than people realize, because the call all along has been they need at least one more arm to go with Jose Fernandez near the top of that rotation. They need another arm or two in the bullpen maybe. And yet statistically the pitching staff ranks pretty well. And they've made several moves leading up to the deadline and right at the deadline. They brought Fernando Rodney in. He'd been closing and had been spectacular in San Diego. Now he's setting up here. They just brought the lefty Hunter Cervenka in, having a great rookie year from Atlanta a couple of days ago. They acquired Andrew Cashner at the deadline as well to help in the rotation. So they're going for it. It's been too long since this team has won. Haven't been to the playoffs since 2003. And they realize there's an opportunity this year. When you look at the National League East, when you look around the rest of the National League, there's an opportunity for somebody to sneak in there and maybe make some noise. So they're hoping it'll be the Marlins.
Well, yeah, that is a long time without a playoff appearance, and I'm glad you mentioned the wild card. I haven't even really been looking at the wild card standings, but I'm sure the Marlins fans really are, because Washington's got that pretty good lead, and this is a team that is deserving of being in the playoffs. I mean, the way it's come together, you know, guys like Christian Yelich and Martin Prado, the way they're hitting, has anything surprised you about this team? You know, what's been the pleasant surprise of the team, you think?
Well, we've got three young players, Christian Yelich, you mentioned, left field, JT Romuto behind the plate, and Marcelo Ozuna in center field, and those three have all had absolute breakout seasons, career numbers in virtually every single category, average, OBP, slugging. If they're not already there in home runs and RBIs and doubles, they're on their way. So those three have really taken off this year. You mentioned Martin Prado, who's just the veteran professional who's going to have a terrific season with the bat and with the glove as well. We've been missing Justin Bour, the first baseman, who had been a really pleasant surprise, but he's been out since the very beginning of July with a high ankle sprain, and the hope is he could be back this week potentially. But he was a big power bat behind Stanton in the lineup that was really helping out a lot. In terms of real surprises, you know, I don't know that you'd call any of it a surprise. What you went into the season hoping for was that you'd get those breakout years from some of these younger players who are young but no longer inexperienced, and you've seen that with Yelich, with Realmuto, with Ozuna, and with others. So it's been a good, productive year to this point. Now the question is, can these young players who've never been in a pennant race deal with the pressure? And when you've got a target on your back, when you're playing critical games in hostile environments, can you go out and can you win? And that's why, actually, at the start of this past road trip, losing three straight at Wrigley Field was really disappointing. The Cubs had come in here last month. The Marlins won 3 out of 4 from Chicago when the Cubs were playing really well. Then to go into Wrigley Field to lose 2 one-run games, to melt down in the ninth inning in the finale, and to lose a 3 straight overall was very disappointing. And for the first time, you sat there and you wondered, you know, maybe is the stage too big for some of these guys right now? But then they bounced back very well in Colorado over the weekend against a Rockies team that's been playing great baseball. So that was encouraging to see. Now it doesn't get any easier with the Giants coming in here this week. So it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out. But the hope is that these young players can step up with the light shining a little bit brighter now than they ever have for them.
We'll get back to the conversation with Marlins play-by-play announcer Glenn Geffner in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. A little reminder, each week during the season, we'll be giving away a free t-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. All you have to do is ask a question for one of our guests, and if your question is chosen, you'll receive a free t-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. To send your questions in, email us at thesportsvirus@gmail.com or on Facebook, thesportsvirus.com page, and please like us while you're there. Now back to the conversation with Marlins announcer Glenn Geffner. When watching the highlight of Ichiro getting his 3,000th hit, after he got the hit, he got a lot of hugs, including Barry Bonds, the hitting coach now with the Marlins, and a lot of Giants fans and media wondered how would he do there in Miami? Like, would he stick with it? I mean, what would it be like? A totally different lifestyle as a hitting coach. People questioned whether or not Bonds would be good at that job. It looks like he's really good at it. So tell us, what has the Bonds impact been?
Well, I think a lot of fans of the Bay Area will remember the name Frank Menachino from his years with the A's.
Yeah.
Frank had been the hitting coach here prior to Barry. Frank has stayed on as Barry's assistant hitting coach, and I think the two of them have been a really good tag team, with Frank having a little bit more coaching experience, obviously, than Barry, but Barry bringing something to the table that absolutely nobody else could bring. So Frank may be the guy who does a lot of the scouting video work and who'll be in the batting cage doing flips at 1 in the afternoon with guys. And Barry really, more than some of the technical stuff, has really worked hard with most of these hitters on the mental approach to the game. And I think you've seen huge growth in that area for a lot of the names you mentioned already. Going to the plate with a plan every single time up, really understanding how the pitcher is trying to get you out, understanding what this pitcher brings to the mound tonight. Maybe he doesn't have a good curveball tonight, so forget about the curveball. Let's focus on the fastball and the slider. This is how we're going to attack in certain counts. I mean, one of the things we've seen with Christian Yelich this year, he's in the past been content to just go the other way and take his singles and doubles. But you get Yelich now into a favorable count at 2-0 and 3-1, and he'll turn on a ball and hit a ball 450 feet. And I think part of that is the Bonds' influence on him. So he's been fun to have around. I know the players have really enjoyed having him around. He's worked very hard at it. He's been a good addition. Along with Frank Menachino, the two of them really complement each other very well.
Well, there's some players there, some former players to glean information from. Bonds, Ichiro, we already talked about. Don Mattingly, the manager, he was a terrific player. And what do you think is different about Mattingly as a Marlins manager than prior to that when he was with the Dodgers? What do you think he's learned?
Well, you mentioned those names. So let me just add, Tim Wallach is Mattingly's bench coach, who had a great big league career.
Oh, yeah.
And we've got Andre Dawson and Tony Perez on the field every day at home with this team, two Hall of Famers who've been part of the Marlins family for many years. So there is a lot of veteran insight to be gleaned if you want to do that, and a lot of these young players have bought into it. Mattingly has been terrific. Mattingly has really changed the culture here, which frankly needed to be changed. He's got experience. He commands respect, as does everybody in that coaching staff with him. And he's brought an expectation level. You know, early on in the year when the team was starting to play well and two or three games over 500, and people were saying, well, it's been X number of years since we've been two games over 500 or three games over. Mattingly said, hey, two games over is nothing. Two games over is not going to get you where you want to go. We got to keep winning. We've got to forget about yesterday. We've got to worry about today. Don't focus on tomorrow. Stay in the day. Stay in the moment. But don't be satisfied. Yeah, you had a great first half. That's not good enough. We play 162 here. We're trying to get to the playoffs, not just finish above 500 for the first time since 2009, not just get to the playoffs for the first time since 2003. You know, we want to advance. We want to make some noise. We want to be one of those teams that people are afraid of. So he's really changed the expectation level internally, and that can be a hard thing to do. And others have tried to do that, but he's been successful in doing that. I think he's very comfortable here. You know, obviously, Joe, there were a lot of things written about his relationship with the front office in Los Angeles and how things went south there. This front office has let him do his thing. He makes out the lineup. He decides who plays, who doesn't. He's done a great job managing that clubhouse. You've had some pretty good players sitting on the bench at different times. And he's been great, and he commands a ton of respect. And to this point, he's done a really good job just transforming the culture here and making these guys believe they got a chance to win.
We'll have more with Marlins play-by-play announcer Glenn Geffner right after this.
Hey, how'd you get those cool new shirts for the trade show so fast?
Access!
Who makes all that great clothing for high schools and colleges?
Access!
How do I get my company logo embroidered on some nice polo shirts?
Access Uniforms is your go-to resource for customized clothing. Just call us to find the right product, email your artwork, and your order will be on its way directly from our factory right here in Burlingame. Call Access Uniforms at 877-755-LOGO. That's 877-755-L-O-G-O.
Well, every time that Jose Fernandez takes the mound, the Marlins have a chance to win, especially at home when you look at the incredible numbers of 26-2 at home with a 1.62 ERA. And he takes the mound against the Giants on Monday night against Johnny Cueto. What a pitching matchup it is. But tell us about Fernandez, the great slider. He's second in the league in strikeouts. And, you know, now that he's healthy these days, it must be a lot of fun to watch him pitch.
He's an unbelievable young pitcher. He just turned 24 years old. He's actually, what a lot of people don't understand, he's a better kid than he is a pitcher. He's a somebody who just, because of the journey he took to even get to this country and then to reach the major leagues and now to overcome Tommy John surgery and get back to such a high level, he's so appreciative of where he is and what he's able to do. He's got a passion for the game. He's just a tremendous joy to be around. And then that fifth day when you get to watch him on the mound, he's especially a joy. Tremendous stuff. His stuff is as good as anybody's in baseball. For him, sometimes it's just a matter of the emotion, being able to control the emotion. Sometimes gets a little bit extra amped up for a certain matchup, whether it's against a team or a starting pitcher or a particular hitter in a certain at-bat. He might get extra amped up. But we've seen some growth from him in that regard this year as well. And really now it's just a matter of finishing off the year and proving he can get through 162 healthy, because he had the great rookie year in 2013 when he was the rookie of the year and he finished third in the Cy Young vote. Then the Tommy John surgery in 14. So he's already made more starts this year and thrown more innings this year than in the last 2 years combined. He's already gone over his innings count from his rookie year in 2013 and his strikeout total from that year. So you reach the point where, with all he's been through the last couple of years physically, you begin to wonder, is he going to be able to stay strong and finish off the year the way he started it? And his last couple of starts, quite honestly, have led me to wonder if maybe he's wearing down a little bit and if maybe it might be time for a little bit of a break for Jose. They've been very careful with him. Going back to the start of the season, they mapped out every start of the year for Jose, and they did it in such a way where he'd get an extra day of rest between starts as often as humanly possible. They built in one turn through the rotation in the first half where they skipped him. They've got another one in the second half that'll be coming up before too long. So they work very hard to manage him. Sometimes you see him come out of games before you think that maybe he should. You know, maybe he's got another inning in him or something because the pitch count's manageable. But they've been very careful with him, and you hope he can hold up. And especially if this team's got a chance to get to October one way or another, you'd like to see him pitch on that stage. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that sounds like that's a model for how you're supposed to do it with protecting pitchers a little bit. To finish up, Glenn, you know, speaking of the journey, you've had a great journey. You started, you grew up in Miami, so you're back in your hometown, but you did a lot of minor league baseball. You were in Rochester with the Red Wings before I was, which was pretty cool that our paths crossed there in the International League. And, you know, then you went the PR route. You were with San Diego in that regard, went back to broadcasting, and then you were with the Red Sox. And you've kind of bounced around a little bit in the game, and you found a home in Miami. So how enjoyable is it to be back there and doing what you're doing?
So I've been very fortunate. Was in San Diego for some very exciting years with the Padres. Got to the World Series in 1998, and I got to work with Tony Gwynn and Trevor Hoffman and Ricky Henderson and guys like that with the Padres. And on there, I had the chance to work with the Hall of Famer Jerry Coleman. Went to Boston, and I thought I was there for the perfect 5 years. My first year with the Red Sox was 2003, which was the year the Red Sox lost the seventh game of the ALCS in extra innings at Yankee Stadium on the Aaron Boone home run. So I got the misery of what it means to be a Red Sox right out of the chute there. But then in 2004 was there when the Red Sox won the World Series for the first time in 86 years, and was there again in 2007 broadcasting when the Red Sox won their second World Series of this recent run of three in the last decade plus. And then at the end of the 07 season, had a chance to come back home. And a lot of people thought it was a strange move to go from Boston to Miami. But I grew up down here, and I grew up down here before the Marlins even existed, when we had spring training baseball and University of Miami baseball, and that was about it. So it was a chance to come home. It's a great place to raise a family, and I've been fortunate, and, you know, was able to move into the new ballpark with the Marlins and hopefully move into a new era where this team year in and year out is competing for a playoff spot. We've got terrific young talent here. When you think about Fernandez and Stanton, two guys that any team in baseball would gladly start with, and you go on down the line with a lot of the other young players, and now having the chance to work with Don Mattingly every day. It's been terrific for me, and as in San Diego, I get to work with a Hall of Fame partner in Dave Van Horn, the longtime voice of the Montreal Expos for 32 years, so I'm lucky in that regard as well. But it's been a great ride, and we're very happy to be where we are.
All right, Glenn. Hey, thanks a lot for the time. Really appreciate it. Great catching up with you. And good luck during this series against the Giants and then the rest of the season.
All right, Joe. Thank you. It was great talking with you.
That's Marlins play-by-play announcer Glenn Geffner. Join us again on Wednesday. We are scheduled to talk to former Giant Andrew Susak, who got traded just before the trade deadline to the Milwaukee Brewers and is playing now with the Colorado Springs Ball Club in the Pacific Coast League. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on the sportsvirus.com and canbr.com.